Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and the one who teaches us. Amen. It's in this gospel lesson that Jesus gives some parables, and it's actually a series of three. One is before this actual text, and the Bible is full of imagery, and it's that imagery that gives us a visual or a mental picture of God, that creative God, interacting with his people. Our readings today reflect that imagery in that theme, the kingdom of God. It's particularly there in Ezekiel, but it's also there in Mark's, in those parables that our Lord gives to us. Those verses of Ezekiel are part of an allegorical reading of that invasion of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar as he's carrying off the captives and into the, especially the upper echelon, to Babylon. And it was that same event that Ezekiel was portraying in the Valley of Dry Bones, and he foretold, as he himself saw 17 years of that exile of the 70 total there. Ezekiel's reading then presents the image of the growth of a sprig from that tree taken and planted, and reflecting God's promise to his people that those uprooted from their homeland, well, the image would be that there is a restoration and a renewal of Israel. But it's actually more than that, because it's also a messianic promise. It's the story of the Savior, ultimately, and looking forward to that day of his establishing of the kingdom of God. And Jesus speaks multiple times, the kingdom of God, just as John the Baptist did. It's from Mark's gospel that we get a clearer picture of God's work and that kingdom of grace. He gives us three of those parables in short succession, each teaching us a different aspect of the kingdom of God. He begins with the parable of the sower, and that teaches about the receptivity of God's word into the hearts and lives of people as the kinds of ground that it falls on, and the results come from the various hearers. And it's in the gospel today that he teaches ultimately that innately that word grows, that it has its own power, if you will, in the parable of the growing seed. And in the second half of that gospel, it focuses on the kingdom of that nature, the parable of the mustard seed, which starts as a small grain of mustard seed and grows to be such a large tree, offering life and shelter. You know, whereas the promise of Ezekiel, it refers to the coming of Jesus ultimately, and that fact that he would draw others to himself, that imagery continues in Mark and echoes that of Ezekiel. It's in those words of Jesus that he's comparing the growth of God's kingdom, God's church, all believers, which are the result of that seed, that small, seems like nothing of significance, and yet it's that imagery, as he talks about in the small mustard seed, leading to that incredible growth, a sign of growth, not only of the kingdom of God in terms of numbers, but also in the growth producing fruit. Both of these passages or parables there, that imagery of the branches in the Old Testament there and Mark's gospel. It's there, it's large enough that the birds come and perch and rest in its shade. It offers shade and shelter. And that's the blessing of God's kingdom in this world at large. Now, going back to the parable of the growing seed, it's only in Mark's gospel that we have this parable. It suggests that the gospel has a power of its own. It's independent of anyone trying to nurture it or tend to it. And it's that growth of the seed that's seen as something of a mystery, something that many of us could relate to probably as childhood. You watched and planted some seeds in your youth, and you come back again to that special project, and coming back again and again, you don't see it actually grow, but you see the change in between. It's slow, almost imperceivable to the naked eye, and yet it's sure and steady nonetheless. The parable of that mustard seed is to see the small beginnings of the church invisible, the believers, the kingdom of God, those who have faith in the reconciliation that God has provided in Jesus. It began with one leader, Jesus, and it spread to the 12 disciples as he gave them their task. And then it was there that the leader, of course, the Son of God, is not insignificant, but he is, as he calls himself, that grain of wheat that falls into the ground in his death and burial. And this parable points us to that humbleness of the beginnings of Christianity and its rapid growth and its spread throughout the world. The mustard seed is the whole worldwide believers. The church grows into the largest of trees, and its branches spread out full and wide, and the birds of the air, and the shelters them from the heat and from the day. And the images of birds in the trees, it's there that, well, it refers to people from all over the world gathering into the kingdom of God and resting in its branches. Against that parable of the growing seed is Jesus is really saying that although his ministry wasn't bringing the kind of kingdom that people thought they were expecting, he was nonetheless preparing God's kingdom for that promised harvest. And it's the tree growing that from Jesus planting the kingdom that it unfolds there with those words from Ezekiel, that sprig that's planted and established and grows into this kingdom. And within these parables is that imagery of the sickle cutting the harvest, which comes from Joel chapter 3. We, the people of God throughout the world, are the harvest. And these parables are recognizing God's power at work. Whether that power is at work in a way which we would expect or not expect, it's there. It begins as a small beginning and it grows to something wonderful and big. The small beginnings of God's kingdom started in Galilee, and as they grew in faith and the Holy Spirit created that faith in those disciples, the Holy Spirit working those powerful manifestations of the gospel, it brought people into the faith and into the church, into the kingdom of God. And it's been doing that for over two millennia. And that imagery should encourage us by the presence of God's power and coming of his kingdom, present with us already, but not fully complete until we are in eternity. The power of God's word, it's there, it's mysterious, powerful, working as that seed sown in the ground. None of us can really explain that small seed, how it's able to break through the hard ground, and we can't explain how it grows and takes root and takes it's growing, and it's proof that there is power in that seed. There's life. God's divine word is that point of comparison that Jesus wants us to remember concerning the kingdom of God. And at times, we may underestimate the power of that word of God. We might not even tend to give God that word, that credit that it really deserves. And yet we hear from the writer of Hebrews, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Consider what God's powerful work has done in your life. God's word has been planted in our sin-darkened hearts of stone, and when we were still enemies of God, and that word of God burst forth, breaking that hardness and that coldness of sin, and it's there that we now have hearts of flesh, as the prophet Jeremiah talks about. No longer do we live in the dark, but we walk in the light. It's that light of the love of God. And as both Paul and John would state, it's there that it's God's word at work giving us new life in our lives. The word of God sown in our hearts freely. And now our lives are changed. Peter puts it this way, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. God's church is growing because of the word of God. Not everyone would agree with that statement. Some would lament the seeming decline of churches in our country. But remember, God is concerned about his church growing in the hearts of believers all throughout the world. External numbers in any one locality is not a picture of God's grand work and his plans, that of growing his kingdom. And so maybe sometimes we mutter those things that take away from that glorious gospel. We might say, if only our church was bigger or offered more or did this or that, then people would come. But remember, the beginning of the Christian church started with Jesus, who planted the seed in that ground and rising to life again, passing the task on to the 12 apostles. It grew to 120, to 500, and then to 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. And then the missionary journeys carried that message to the far-flung places of the world. And today that kingdom of God includes millions, countless millions, and billions throughout the world. We might complain the church has limited money, or that we could, if we had more, we could do more. But Jesus reminds us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well. We don't always seek God's kingdom, though, do we? Sometimes our selfish, self-help, arrogant society, we've picked up some bad habits. And all too often we think that the success or failure of God's churches depends on us. Or worse, if anything goes wrong, it's somebody's fault or the pastor's fault. But in that first letter to the Corinthians in that early church, it was a church that faced many conflicts and difficulties. There, a church that was fractured and different groups rallying about different leaders and difficult times. And yet Paul addressed that in his words as he reminds them and us, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. It's to God be the glory. It's to God and him alone who gives that increase. We may not always see that outward growth of the Christian church numerically. We may feel like our church or Christianity in general seems to be losing ground in our Western society. But if you look around the world, that's not always the case. Because there are places and countries around that God is reaping a wonderful harvest of souls. Africa is one of those examples that is expanding and exploding as individual countries have more Lutherans, let alone Christians, than all of the combined Lutheran denominations in the U.S. Now, the Lord has promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against His church, against His kingdom. And we need to remember that God's church is growing. God's church grows whenever we hear the word of God. God's church grows whenever we read God's word. God's church grows whenever we study the word. God's church grows whenever there is baptism and the Lord's Supper properly administered. And it's this kind of growth that changes hearts and lives, bringing faith into it. It's this kind of growth that happens because and solely because of that powerful word of God in their lives. And oftentimes, it's even quiet and maybe not even perceived, but it's real nonetheless. In those last words of our Old Testament lesson, Ezekiel says, "And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it." He gets the credit. And yes, we all are called to sow that seed, but God is the one who brings about the harvest. This last week, we were sowing to some 65-plus young people in our VBS, and we don't know what that harvest will be, but we sow generously that word of God that others may be part of that harvest of souls. And as we plan to build the child center, it's there that God will continue to expand the kingdom, and it's there through the gospel-focused education. In fact, God's word goes out among us in grace in so many ways in various ministries that we serve. God's kingdom is a matter of faith in our hearts and in the lives of His people. God's word is working just as certain as that seed is planted and pushes through the ground. God's church is growing just as certain as that small mustard seed turns into a great tree. And we can't always see the numbers or the full results in time and history, but we may see a branch here and there in that great kingdom of God. But you see, God sees it all and He knows, and He's the one that gives new life in the kingdom of His members. Apostle Paul reminds us, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So, keep sharing the good news of Jesus, His suffering, death, and resurrection. Keep sharing the good news of God's reconciliation through Jesus, and the kingdom of God will grow. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.